To be a leader, you don't have to be perfect. I think that's kind of a misconception that is out there in the world, that every leader has had the perfect life and they've done everything perfectly and went to this school and had this type of career and has this type of family. But really, you know, a leader can be anybody.
This is She Becomes, a podcast from the Junior League of Houston about unlocking the potential of women and training the next generation of women leaders.
I think the most important thing is knowing who you are, what you want, and how to explain that to people.
I would say one of the things that was said to me from a mentor was, don't be afraid to say yes.
Hi, I'm Laura Eisensee, and today on She Becomes, we're looking at how volunteering can help you step outside your comfort zone and help you grow as a leader. But that first step, it can be scary, hard, especially when it's something totally new. We're going to talk about all that and get some advice from a professional life coach, and also hear from one Junior League member who's taken some big steps in her journey with the league. But first, let's take a closer look at the huge range of opportunities, some 300 different ways women can develop and refine their skills with the league.
I'm Courtney Durham, and I'm the Training and Education Director this year.
And my name is Mariah Petter, and I am the Membership Training Chairman.
We are in our fabulous ballroom here at the Junior League of Houston, and it is all glitter and glammed up for our incoming 2020-2021 league year. It is a spark theme, kind of spark, ignite your passions. And kind of see where the league takes you. So it's our administrative placement fair.
What do you mean by administrative placement?
So within the league, our members can serve kind of in direct volunteer opportunities, which is our community side, but our members can also serve on what's the administrative side, which is kind of what I say, like, the back end of everything, kind of what's behind the curtain. So our membership is divided up into four areas: membership, development, community, and finance. And so under those areas, our members serve directly in everyday operations from big to little that go on within the Junior League of Houston, whether it's in membership, dealing with things directly with our members, from mentoring programs to how our general meetings run, and finance, they handle all the money coming in and out, our dues, our treasurer positions. So it gives our members an opportunity in these placements to kind of grow their leadership and to kind of have a chance for the year to develop themselves in something new.
What sort of skills or experiences would you say someone can grow or develop?
All skills. And all skills are welcome in an administrative placement. And never be afraid to take an administrative placement that you don't have experience in, because the great thing about the Junior League of Houston is we're a training organization where you can learn and grow in different placements.
And I've taken skills I've learned within the league and then gone back and applied them to my professional life, which is an amazing thing that I'm training within the organization to serve the community, but I'm also learning myself and taking that back into my everyday life.
Have you experienced some of that, Mariah?
Absolutely. And there are skills that I've learned at work that I could bring into the league to help. My everyday job is international HR, so I'm all about people and processes and systems. So coming into the league and incorporating a fluid process, which we are a very well-oiled machine already, but just making things a little bit easier.
Talk more about how members can grow skills, especially leadership opportunities. I'm curious, how did each of y'all come into your leadership position here at the league?
I started as a researcher placement within community, and then just by the mentoring within the league, kind of having a personal mentor that I kind of came across within the league, that has truly helped me kind of grow my leadership within the league. And that's one of the great things I feel that we get to offer to our members, is we are not only developing our skills as volunteers to go serve the community, but we as women together are mentoring and developing each other and assisting each other and helping us grow in our skills. And so I've kind of had some wonderful women before me that have helped guide me in different directions within the league and kind of say, oh, this might be good, or have you thought about this?
And how about you, Mariah?
So I completely agree with the mentorship piece that Courtney was just speaking on. I found women that have mentored me and saw something in me and believed in me and gave me opportunities to serve in these leadership roles, to aspire and grow within the league, just not serving in placements and growing, but even myself, making a better version of me.
Both of you mentioned mentors here in the league. What's some advice that some of your mentors here have given you? Or was there a moment where a mentor said, you know what, Courtney, you know what, Mariah, you should really think about this. And it was something that you had never thought about.
So a mentor of mine who's a really good girlfriend, when I always go to her every year and I'm like, okay, it's, you know, time to sign up for a placement. And the words that she always told me from the day I met her was, she said, the league is your oyster. Go where you go. Go where you want to go. Kind of and explore. Have fun with it. Take full advantage of it. Embrace it and ride with it.
And how have you done that?
It's been quite an adventure. I've gone from community to development to membership. It's been a fun ride. I've thoroughly enjoyed my league experience.
How about you, Courtney? Any thoughts, any more thoughts on mentorship, the kind of mentorship you've gotten here?
Yes. So I would say one of the things that was said to me from a mentor was, don't be afraid to say yes. Don't be afraid to kind of take that leap and say yes. And I think that's one of the wonderful things about the Junior League of Houston is each year we get to take on a new placement. Each year we get to try something new. And so I would tell members or individuals in life in general or whatever league you're in is don't be afraid to try something new. You're going to learn so much from it. And also a piece of advice I was given that has definitely come into play with my role this year is you're not going to break the league. Like the Junior League of Houston, it is a very well-oiled machine, and we have that opportunity to also fail and make mistakes, and that's going to happen, and kind of embracing that and knowing it's going to happen, but that you're going to learn from it and you're going to be better the next time. And I think that's a huge life skill to learn, and we kind of have this nice safety net of the support system around it, from our members to the support system of just the way the junior leagues run, that it's kind of different from maybe your professional world where you're not going to break it, and you kind of get to fail and learn from it. Because I truly think we learn a lot more for our failures sometimes than we do even the successes. So
I think that's so insightful, because I feel like especially as women, you know, there's so much pressure on us to perform and to perform well in so many different roles that we may have in our personal and our professional lives that, I've never thought about that with the league before, that it is an opportunity to, you know, not be afraid to say yes, not be afraid to make mistakes, that, you know, you're not going to break the league.
The one thing I love about watching my girlfriends grow in the league is when they discover their passion. Either that being out in the community through development, using their talents and traits, writing, publishing, writing recipes, putting together a cookbook, for example. But when they really find their passions and they dive in, they get into these placements where they have bigger roles and more responsibilities and opportunities, which is really inspiring watching these women grow.
And for yourself, if you were to name sort of one thing that you've learned or that one way that you've personally grown in the league, what comes to mind?
Definitely time management with your whole life. You make time for what you love. So juggling work, extracurricular, outside activities, and putting, you know, the league as a top priority, and balancing everything with family and friends and everything. It's time management has been a really big learning curve.
How about you, Courtney?
Collaborating with other women and kind of truly getting to see like teamwork and that aspect of like coming together around something, or getting to like work together to kind of come to a common goal, or just work together to accomplish tasks.
Any other thoughts?
Don't be afraid to step outside of your comfort zone. That's what I've realized I've done a little bit each year, more and more within each placement I take on in the league, as I've stepped outside my comfort zone. And at the end of it, I've realized I've learned so much more than if I kind of played it safe. So don't be afraid to step outside it and take on a new challenge.
Great. Well, thank you both.
Thank you.
It was so much. This was great.
That again was Courtney Durham and Mariah Petter with the Junior League of Houston. Let's dig a little deeper into these themes of trying something new and how mentors can help. I sat down with Helen Godfrey. She's a personal counselor and life coach in Houston and focuses on a holistic approach at her practice called The Authentic Path. She told me the most common questions she gets from women clients.
So the millennials, they have a term called a quarter-life crisis. So I get a lot of quarter-life crisis clients coming in. They've been working for a little while, and they're just not happy with what they're doing, and they're not sure why. So I think what I really help people with is gaining clarity, and that's across whatever age. If it's someone coming back from being a stay-at-home mom and trying to transition into a career, or someone who's been in their career a while and thinks, wow, I have X number of years to retire. Do I really want to spend it in this job?
And when you're coaching someone, especially women, how often do you refer them to try something out as a volunteer? Like, where does volunteering fit in the toolbox, so to speak?
So volunteering is a great way to try something out without making a commitment. So maybe you've been doing events and your children's parties and you're a stay-at-home mom and you think, maybe I'd like to do this as a career. Certainly volunteering first can give you a taste to make sure you would really like that as a full-time job.
For some people who are trying something new, I mean, trying something new can be scary, it can be intimidating, even if we are interested in it or we've, you know, done some party planning for a kid's birthday, but to kind of put yourself out there, so to speak. I mean, how do you recommend someone getting over that fear?
One, I would acknowledge, you're right, that is scary. Trying something new is always scary. So be okay with that feeling. Thanks to Google, Amazon, fast food, we're used to instant results. But in real life, things take time. And adjusting to anything new is going to take time. So just reminding yourself of that, I think, is a good start.
But to like really get out of your comfort zone, I mean, how do you coach your clients, again, especially women?
Well, I read a quote that I think is very applicable to this. And it said, a bird has to break out of its shell before it can fly. And honestly, a lot of women who come to me, they're already ready to make that change. So I think it's important to know there's six stages of change. And one is pre-contemplation. And that might be where they're considering a change. But thinking about the benefits of how this experience could help you, thinking about the possibilities, that's how I would coach someone.
What are the other stages of change? You mentioned the first one, pre-contemplation. What are the others?
So there's pre-contemplation, which means it's not really in your radar. Contemplation, you notice that you need to make a change. Determination, you're ready to figure out ways to make those changes. Action, you're taking steps to make those changes. Maintenance, now you have a system so you're comfortable with those changes. And finally, what they call termination, which is you've just assimilated this change into your life. It doesn't feel like something out of the ordinary anymore.
Interesting. I've never heard that laid out like that before. And I imagine someone could sort of go back and forth between the different stages.
I think that's a great point you bring out. You can definitely slide back and forth because change, even when we want it, it's not that easy.
What if someone is looking to change in terms of their leadership qualities, you know, become a leader, either in their personal sphere or professional, or maybe they're already a leader, but they want to use their voice more effectively. What's your advice there? And again, do you see any connection to volunteering?
So there's a series of books that I absolutely love called Perfect Phrases for managers and supervisors, for team leaders, for reviews. And it gives you phrases to use in sometimes those tricky situations so that the listener can actually hear the message. I think volunteering is a great way to find your voice, because almost any situation you're going to be interacting with people, and the stakes aren't quite as high as when it's your career.
One thing that I've heard from other women at the Junior League is how mentors have really played a big role in their personal growth. And, you know, how have you seen that play out with your clients as they look for more clarity, as they look for personal growth?
That's extremely valuable to have a mentor. And I recommend having an agenda when you meet your mentor. Maybe there's things you want to work on. Maybe the communication skills are something that you need to work on. So you work on that with your mentor. And on a side note, I always think that it's nice if you're meeting your mentor in person, treat them to coffee or lunch. So it's a little more of a give and take. And your mentor, I would imagine, would feel appreciated, you know, by that gesture.
What if you don't have a mentor? How do you find one?
Great question. I think networking events, something like the Junior League, would be a wonderful place to find a mentor. Professional organizations, if you are employed, looking around the office, and the person doesn't have to be doing the same job as you, but you might notice certain people have certain talents and skills that maybe you're missing. And I don't remember the name of this motivational speaker, but he likes to start his speeches off by saying, "Who likes to help?" And everyone in the room raises their hand. "Who likes to ask for help?" And everyone's hands go down. So most likely people are really willing to help you. So just ask.
How do you continue that relationship and nurture that relationship over a period of time?
So I recommend always having a notebook and a pen. And when you meet with your mentor, whether it's in person or via phone, you're taking notes, you're asking for advice, and then you circle back and let them know how that went. Did they recommend a book? Are you on chapter one? Let them know how it's going, how it's been helping you. People really appreciate knowing that their advice was helpful.
Any other tips to kind of nurture those relationships?
Think about what kind of help your mentor might need. So maybe, you know, they like sports and you found a great Groupon for a sports event. Email that to them, or an interesting article that made you think of them. So that way you too are contributing to the relationship by offering information to the mentor, which I'm sure they would appreciate.
Is this something that comes up very often with your clients, this idea of mentors and mentorship?
Oh, definitely. Because when you think about a mentor, not only are you making a connection with that person, they can be a referral source for you as well. On LinkedIn, we're connected, or they have 3 degrees of connection, first, second, third. And they say in the world, we're connected by 3 people. And that's actually why LinkedIn only has 3 degrees of connection.
This year, we have a theme called Bloom Where You Are Planted. And I wanted to ask, what does that spark in your mind? What does that mean to you?
Well, I wrote an article not too long ago about how our life unfolds in stages. And that's exactly what it makes me think of. Donald Super has a theory about different life stages, and I think that might be interesting to look at, and how our priorities change, and in different life stages, we're looking for different things. So I think that's a great motto, because wherever you are, there are things that you can gain in that stage.
Any other thoughts that you'd like to share, Helen?
Well, I think the most important thing is knowing who you are, what you want, and how to explain that to people. Whether you're looking for a mentor, being clear on what are you looking for, what kind of help do you need? If you're mentoring someone, what kind of help can you offer? If you're looking to volunteer, what are those skills that you would like to develop? Who are you? What do you like doing? Because we all like being surrounded by people who are happy in what they're doing.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for your time and sharing your expertise.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I don't know about you, but I hear that theme of clarity loud and clear. No pun intended. I know it may sound easier than it is in reality, and we'll keep exploring how to find that clarity if you're still searching for it in future episodes. But for now, for a little bit of inspiration before we go, here's a member who says she's found greater clarity in her life through the Junior League of Houston.
You can kind of say that Junior League is in my blood. I'm from Jackson, Mississippi, and my mother was in Junior League of Jackson and was actually president of her chapter. So growing up, I was always going to different volunteer events, to their galas and all of that. So I've been around it my whole life. So it's kind of a legacy for me. When I first joined, I was very green in my career at that time. I hadn't had a lot of leadership opportunities. Me 3 years ago compared to me now is definitely very different. I would say when I first joined the league, I was very timid. I was definitely more of an Indian that followed the tribe. But as I've progressed in my career throughout the Junior League, I've gained a lot more confidence in myself when it comes to voicing my opinion about how I feel about decisions that we're making. I'm more confident in speaking to large groups and just overall know what I want to do as far as my career and the leadership path that I'd like to take in philanthropy, but also within my professional career. So there are probably about two instances that have really allowed me the opportunity to grow and find my leadership footing, so to speak. The first being when I was head active for the tutoring program, our placement at Texas Children's Hospital. That was a new placement at the time. So there was no handbook to go by. It was really me saying, this is what I think we should do. This is how it should run. This should be our processes. And that required a lot of me speaking with TCH staff, but also, you know, working with the provisionals that were very new and very green to everything and trying to inspire them to come along on the process that this is a new thing that we're trying, but to remain, you know, positive and everything is trial and error, but we're going to work it out in the end. Secondly, it would be the Leadership Institute training, which I participated in the fall of 2019. And it's about, I would say, 30 to 40 women that apply to be a part of this training program. It's for one weekend in the fall, and we got to interact with a lot of sustainers, leaders and other nonprofits and foundations within the Houston community. And so really it was saying, okay, you have the potential to be a great leader, but this is how you actually go upon doing it. My advice would be to be a leader, you don't have to be perfect. I think that's kind of a misconception that is out there in the world, that every leader has had the perfect life and they've done everything perfectly and went to this school and had this type of career and has this type of family. But really, you know, a leader can be anybody. You just have to figure out where you fit in and where you can show your leadership skills. I'd also say to get a team to follow your vision, you have to inspire them. A lot of times a leader might have one idea or direction that they want to go in, and the people that are a part of their team might not feel the same. And that's okay. Not everyone's going to always have the same opinions on things, but as long as you can at least explain why you're making this decision or why you think we should go in that direction, you can inspire people and at least get them to understand where you're going and support you in that mission. And lastly, I'd probably say never say no, because there's an opportunity usually knocking around every corner. You just have to be willing and open to it. I feel as a leader, I'm always growing. So I'm not at the pinnacle of my leadership at all. You know, I'm still very young within my career and within Junior League and philanthropy. But I feel that I'm at a point where I see a very clear path as to where I want to go, whereas in the past, maybe I didn't have that clear of a path. Thankfully, there have been a number of women in the Junior League that have talked to me and kind of coached me and mentored me to help me figure out what that path is. I'm Ashley Seals, and this is the Junior League of Houston.
Thank you, Ashley, for sharing your Junior League story. And we'd love to hear from you. What are some big questions you're dealing with in your personal and professional growth? And what does bloom where you are planted mean to you? We'd love to hear from you on social media. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and more. Just go to jlh.org. I'm Laura Eisensee, and this is She Becomes, a podcast from the Junior League of Houston about unlocking the potential of women and training the next generation of women leaders.